But speaking of young adults, I would like to have some of them come up and read today's scripture for us. And so if you would rise for the reading of scripture, that would be very appropriate. So as they work their way up here, should have warned them. And I don't know how to make this one work. Yeah, we're good. Okay.
Am I up? Oh, right here. All right, this is 1 John 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. The Word was with God in the beginning. All things were created by Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines on in the darkness, but the darkness has not mastered it.
A man came sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that everyone might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created by him, but the world did not recognize him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not receive him. But to all who have received him, those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become God's children, children not born by human parents or by human desire or a husband's decision, but by God.
John 14 through 18. Now the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We saw his glory, the glory of one and only, full of grace and truth, who came from the Father. John testified about him and shouted out, "This one was the one about whom I said, 'He who comes after me is greater than I am, because he existed before me.' For we have all received from his fullness one gracious gift after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came about through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only one, himself God, who is in the closest fellowship with the Father, has made God known."
Thank you, guys. Before you're seated, let's pray. Heavenly Father, be with us as we unpack this incredibly full, brilliant, but yet simple set of verses from John, the one whom Jesus loved. I thank you for this opportunity to spend the summer digging into one of the most important books in the entire Bible. May we learn, may we grow, may we be challenged, may we desire to go even further in our love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So did you get all that? It's easy, right? Just one or two simple things to talk about. So I hope that's a hint that maybe this would be a series to bring both your Bible and a notebook, because there is a lot here. There is a ton of information, especially in the first 18 verses, that really are going to point us towards what John wants to reveal in the next 20 chapters. It's a full book. It's an exciting book. There's so much information. I was trying to think of an analogy, and I think maybe a Thanksgiving dinner. Everything's out on the table, but you've only been given 30 seconds to eat it all. But then the host says, "All right, now that you're done, let's just enjoy the turkey for an hour. Or let's enjoy the stuffing for another hour after that." So that's what John is doing here in these first 18 verses, is really just throwing everything out there, and then he's going to expand it. I was thinking of more of a more local flavor of analogy here. How about Butte? Okay, if you think about Butte, you see those wonderful towers, the scaffoldings for the mines, and you're like, "Oh, that's really neat. It's kind of like a little iceberg." But there's a lot more on the bottom. 10,000 miles of tunnels. I didn't know there was that many. A mile deep, right? That's what they call it, a mile down. It's about 7 acre miles of space there. You see that, and John's got this scaffolding, and then he's going to show us the depths of who Jesus not just was, but is. Next slide, please. So just a little introduction, since I get to go first. So the author is the Apostle John. He's often referred to as the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. He doesn't refer to himself in his text. He prefers, out of humility, to say the one who reclined with Jesus or who was beloved by Jesus. Dating's a little difficult. I lean towards mostly after 90 AD. That's when John is on the island of Patmos in exile. But some believe that there's language in there that dates pre-70 AD, and that's not a big thing. It's a nerdy thing that I like, but that's when the temple in Jerusalem really went through a lot of destruction. About 30,000 Jews were killed in Jerusalem, a horrific event. So some people think that he doesn't quite allude to that, and others later. I mean, that's not really important. Dating's not important. Well, dating's important. That's then you get married. But dating of scripture, at least in this case, is not important except for the fact that John's books, Epistle, Revelation, they are all later. So John has been on this island of Patmos. He's experienced. He's the only one who's going to die of natural causes. And he's had about 60 years to reflect on who Jesus was. And 60 years of, okay, so what is my mission, my purpose here on earth? Another one of those techie nerd things is this is not a synoptic gospel. How many of you know what a synoptic is? Anybody? I'm sure a couple of you have heard that word, maybe. Yeah, two. Other than me. So, non-synoptic. So if you look at the four Gospels, if you read the other three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they sound a lot alike. So this is kind of the Sesame Street. Which one of these does not belong? It is John. John's not all about chronology. He is all about who Jesus is as the Son of God, who is both fully man and fully God. So he's going to really unearth and unpack that. He's not going to start with the birth of Jesus Christ. He's actually going to start with the birth of the world, who leads us into who Jesus is as the Son of God. His main themes, belief and faith. You will see that throughout all of the stories, all of the signs that he tries to throw out there for us to see are all about the experience of belief for individuals and individuals who showed incredible faith, faith to trust in Jesus the Christ. The key word is signs. Seems like an odd word. You will not find the word miracle, at least in the proper translation of the book of John. John is going to use seven specific signs to show us who Jesus is, to unpack who he is and who we should get to know. So the purpose. This is a purposeful, systematic recounting of the life of Jesus from a good friend and an eyewitness, someone who walked with him, someone who experienced everything on earth for 3 years that Jesus did and said. There's a lot there. There's a lot, especially in these first 18 verses. Scholar Leon Morris stated, John's style is clear and lucid, but the combination of simplicity and profundity often leaves us wondering whether we have caught all of his meaning. And you'll see that as we walk through it. And so I would suggest, as you prepare, there's a bookmark out in the guest area over there. Get one of those and read the text a few different times from a few different translations in preparation for what's going to come about on Sundays. There is a lot there. It is a simple thing, but it is about one of the most profound, overwhelming, wonderful beings in the world. So are we ready? Next slide. So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, fully God. The Word was with God in the beginning. All things were created by him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind, and the light shines on in the darkness, but the darkness has not mastered it. Now, I'm sure none of you have this translation. Maybe some of you do. This is called the NET Bible, the New English Translation. It's one of the newer translations. It looks a little different than ESV, looks a little different than NIV. I'm assuming that's mostly the text that we have out here. Maybe some King James, maybe some NASB. But I like it because this was an open source, if you will, Bible that started about 20 years ago where scholars were allowed to come in, provide their input, and really analyze what the original author, John, and what the original Greek was really trying to say. So you'll see different words, like mastered it is probably not in your text. But I think it really is closest to what John is trying to get at. Now, as I said, there is so much depth here. This is Butte, for sure. Beginning, word. Beginning again, word, word. Life, light. There are about six different sermons in these 18 verses. You're getting one. So, but hopefully as you look at this, you try to ask yourself, so what is John saying since he starts in a completely different way than the other three? Next slide. Hopefully you noticed Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 is a fascinating piece of scripture because we see two of the three essences of the Godhead involved here. God the Father, we assume, is doing the creating. God created, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. And then John brings in, well, you know what? Actually, all three persons of the Trinity were there because everything came to being through God, through the Son of God, Jesus. And we need to be aware of that. So in the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the Word. And how did creation come about? Spoken word. John is very intentional about his language that he's going to use. And then maybe some of you have looked at 1 John before in your life, and that should also remind you of John 1. That is what we proclaim to you, what was from the beginning. Do you see a theme here in John as he tries to unearth who Jesus is? This is a birth story, but it is not the physical birth story. Yes, the physical birth of Jesus is very important because it's God with us, but this is the beginning story. Now, does God need time? No. God functions outside of time. Time is a gift to us, so we can know when we're late and we miss something. But there is no beginning for Jesus. He has always existed, but the beginning, as it's stated here, is for us. The beginning of creation, the beginning of mankind, the beginning of this thing that, dare I say it, Brandon, we call life. Sorry, Brandon's a big Prince fan. So, next verse, please. And I think I want to go two slides over to next one. All right, so back into the text. So why do I give you that basic introduction? Just so we can understand where John is trying to go with this. And so as I said, there's some important words, beginning and word, life, all those different things. So this word here, capital W, is a very important word in Greek thought. And John is very purposeful why he calls Jesus the Word. So in Greek philosophy especially, there was this idea of arguing and trying to understand what was the beginning of everything and who was in charge of everything, and the word that they gave that being or that concept is the logos or the word. So John's like, great, here we are in history. These philosophies are trying to figure out how all this started and what keeps it going. I am going to tell you by utilizing the word logos, word. So right there, he's got a whole new audience that's opening up to, okay, where is John going? It's not just for the Jews, as it will tell us a little later. This is for all mankind. John is intentional. When you read this, you have to ask, why is he saying this? Why is he using that wording? Why is he using that verbiage? So creation came to be with words, and also breath is what animated us. Gave us the Spirit. And mastered, that wonderful word that the NET decides to use. There's two things going on here, okay? There's a lot of depth here. So there's two different ways that you can see this. But the darkness has not, maybe some of your texts say, overcome it, maybe. understood it. So there's two things going on here. Darkness is not going to master it, is not going to defeat the light. That is so important for any of us, all of us really, who have ever struggled. Have you ever been at that point in your life where you're like, there is absolutely no light in my life, I have no friends, nothing is going right, I just feel like the darkness is overcoming me? We all experience those times. Some of you, maybe it's been more recent than at other times. But this text is to remind us that no matter how dark, no matter how bad the addiction, no matter how bad the evil is around you, darkness is not winning out. God has already been victorious, and we who are followers of Jesus Christ are victors, and we can overcome with the help of the Spirit. So there's that, there's this battle type thing, but the other thing is, so think about Satan. Satan knows he's lost. There is a devil. I hope that's not a new concept. There are demons. There is spiritual battle going on around us. But here's this character who's smart. He does have boundaries. He knows he's lost, but he continues to fight. He continues to bring the darkness. He totally does not master or understand who God is. And how many of us, pre-coming to faith, but like me, still in my faith, do not completely understand who the light is and the power behind the light? That's me. How often in my life do I try to master what's going on? Do I try to be the one to push through, which is making me the small g God and not understanding who the big G God truly is, that is the one who can help me overcome? So as I said, this book is deep. There is so much nuanced understanding, but yet it is simple. Jesus was there in the beginning. Jesus came to earth, the Son of God, and walked among us, and he brought a light that shined among us that brought eternal life. It is simple, right? Never forget that fact. It's like when we're going through Revelation in our group, the constant reminder is, this is a book about Jesus and what Jesus has done and what he's going to do. That's it. It's not about helicopters that look like scorpions or something like that, okay? Same thing with John. It is simple, but we are called to grow in our understanding and our faith, so it's also deep. I've heard that it's good enough that a child can eat it, but still difficult enough that older Christians can still chew on it and enjoy it. Next set of verses. So we move from the beginning and the Word, the Logos, and John's going to leave that behind. He is not going to mention Logos or Word for the rest of the entire book. He is now going to focus on Jesus Christ, the man, the Son of God, 100% human, 100% deity, 100% God. And so he's going to switch us over to a different John. Try not to get confused. As I said, John doesn't mention his name in his text. He is referring to John the Baptist. So this man, a very unique individual, he came, he was sent from God, and his name was also John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that everyone might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light who gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So why does John have to differentiate this John from the other John and help people understand that he is not the promised Messiah, the Christ? So there were people in that time who were trying to elevate John into the place of maybe Elijah has come back, literally. Maybe he is the Son of God. And so John is like, nope, we're drawing the line here. John is a human, a gifted human who had the Spirit, capital S Spirit, within him while he was in the womb of his mother, a very important person, the person to come forth, the person who was spoken about for hundreds of years in Scripture, but he is not God. He is not Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah. And so there's this big separation. But John did have an incredible role, the same role that we all have. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, your job, your task is to be one who witnesses about, tells about, testifies about who God is. What does your life look like? What or who are you testifying about? As I've already proclaimed in my vulnerability, more often my life is about Scott. Look what Scott did. Look what Scott accomplished. But we are all called. Yes, John was special, but John had the same mission that we did, to point others to Jesus Christ through our actions and through our words. John had a job, he fulfilled his job, and then he faded away. Verse 10, next slide. He was in the world, and the world was created by him. So this is the language about Jesus. But the world did not recognize him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not receive him. But to all who received him, those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become children of God, or God's children. Children not born by human parents or by human desire or a husband's decision, but by God. So the whole point of why we are doing this right here, why we live our lives, why we were not immediately snapped up to heaven, is so that we can be the witness who testifies about who Jesus truly was. Because if you are a Christ follower, you had to believe something. You had to believe words, and maybe that was because someone shared words, someone showed love to you, someone acted like Jesus Christ to you, so you would go, wow, I want a part of that. I want to be a part of that community or that family. But unfortunately, as John is proclaiming here, Jesus came into the world to his own people. So understand this. Jesus, his words, created humanity, mankind. Then God the Father chose a certain group of individuals, the Jews, Israel, who were his chosen people. And Jesus, at the beginning, came specifically for those chosen people who should know him intimately. And they did not receive him. They did not believe that Jesus, the one walking earth, was truly the Son of God, the Messiah. But it then, this message, this life, this light, then was opened up to the rest of humanity, us, those who were not part of the chosen people, us, Gentiles. As it's often referred to in Scripture, we were then given the opportunity to believe, and the church took off. The world became aware of who Jesus was. It was a flame that you couldn't stop, a wildfire that kept going. And those who believed had a complete paradigm shift in their lives. They became children of God. You, me, we are sons and daughters of God the Creator, brothers and sisters of Jesus the Christ, if you believe in him. John, as I said, is about belief and faith, and the call throughout John is to make a decision. Are you going to follow or are you going to believe? Is Jesus truly who he says he is that John is referring to? Or is he just somebody else, another human like us who was on this earth for 33 years and got killed on a cross? Big deal. Liar, lunatic. Or is he Lord? Last section, 14 through 18. Now, the word became flesh, and some of your texts will say, and lived among us, came among us, but I just love how the NET puts this. He took up residence. This is not, I'm setting up my tent for the weekend, I'll be here for a little while. God, through through John, has already pointed out that Jesus was in the beginning. And remember, there's that beginning word is for us. He was before the beginning, whatever that looks like. Go out to lunch and try to explain that with your friends. Before the beginning. He's never left. He's always been here. God has manifested himself and has spoken throughout the Old Testament and throughout history. This is just a new form of God speaking on earth and God taking up his residence on earth. So as you read this, maybe some of your texts say tabernacled among us. So that's a total reference to the Old Testament, where there was a tabernacle, a place of worship in the wilderness for God's chosen people. You would actually see God's presence there in a cloud or a pillar of fire, and you would know he was around and you would experience him. He would speak to people, prophets or Moses or others, and so his voice was made known. But now God literally chooses, unlike any other religious ideology, that God would actually come down and live and sit right there in that seat with us. Be one of us. Experience what we experience. Temptation, pain, suffering. Jesus wept. He was one of us. He can understand us because he was us. And so that residence now is permanent. There's kind of been a shift in how God has now talks to us as we just spend a whole series on that, hearing from God. So now the heavy, heavy part of this message. We saw his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth, who came from the Father. John the Baptist testified about him and shouted out, if you've ever seen anything on John the Baptist and whatever, The Chosen, or he shouted, "This one was the one about whom I said, 'He who comes after me is greater than I am, because he existed before me.'" This word glory, we in church always try to explain what it means, and you know, we have imagery of this just as beautiful glow, and I'm sure that's a piece of it. But if you look at how Jesus is revealed in glory, it's his death. Glory is obedience to the task at hand. Jesus' main purpose was to die. Yes, many other purposes, to teach, to show us how to live, to be an example, to serve. But Jesus' sole purpose to fulfill or be glorified, to bring glory to his Father, was to go to the cross. We are called to do the same. Scripture tells us, Paul loves to tell us as well, as does Jesus, that the man who lays down his life for another, that's the greatest gift. And so when we think of glory, that is a concept of Jesus going to the cross that is filled with grace. Grace, did you know what your name means? Did they ever tell you? Full of joy. Grace and truth. Did we deserve Jesus coming to walk this earth, to suffer among us, to then go to death and resurrection for us? We don't deserve that. This is a heavy concept, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his Son who would be glorified by his death, fulfilling his purpose. We are called to fulfill our purpose. Not just come here on Sunday, check that box, maybe go to a small group. But we are called to live our lives 24/7 as Jesus did, either engaged with the community or taking time away to recharge to be with the community. That is what today is about. Today is specifically about you being recharged, filled by being around the community, understanding that there are other people on the mission of God to go out into the world. Simple, but maybe not easy. But that's our calling. He who comes after me is greater than I am because he existed before me. That is who our brother is. He who existed before us. He who came among us. And so a couple thoughts in conclusion here, if you'd go to the next slide. So there's a lot to think about from this. You can keep going. So John's presented the gospel. Did you catch that? John has stated that there was a creation event. Jesus was there. Through Jesus, the word, spoken word, things came into being. There was animation, there was life, and the spirit was there, and we have a soul. That's a difference. But then there was this separation thing, and some people chose not to follow God, while other people did choose to follow God. And that's been how it is for the last however many years you think humanity's been around. It's always been like that. We have a choice to follow, but we start out separated, and an event needs to occur, understanding who Jesus is. So all of the Old Testament points to the coming of Jesus. Jesus is there if you look. And so then Jesus fulfills his mission, comes to earth, and gives us the opportunity to be reconciled if we respond and believe who Jesus is and make him Lord of your life and say, I no longer want to run my life. That's a tough thing to say. So what should we watch for in the coming weeks? I just want to give you a few things to pay attention to. We're going to go through the first 11 chapters this summer, which is still going to be a lot. We're going to get most of the signs in that amount of time. But I want you to look at what John is telling us. Life, that word that we've already seen a few times, is going to be 36 times in this book. That's a quarter of the entire New Testament. So what is life? Life here for John is eternal life. So why does he keep bringing that up? Because there is an eternal life that's going to happen, and John wants to make sure that you believe and understand so you can be on the right side of that eternal life. There is a judgment day coming. Scripture tells us that. So pay attention to life. Witness 33 times. Witness, not just John the Baptist, but John is going to... What John and the other three gospel writers are doing are being witnesses to God, to Jesus. So pay attention to that. But as I said, John is also switching from word, logos, going the whole philosophical thing, to showing us the human man. He's actually going to mention the name of Jesus 237 times. You're like, wow, okay, of course, this is a gospel about Jesus. That is a quarter of all New Testament usage. Remember, this is the man who was the beloved disciple, the friend of Jesus, who was of the inner three, who knew who Jesus truly was. So pay attention to why he keeps talking about Jesus the human. But also notice the life verses that we're going to touch on. John 3:16, John 14:6. I'm sure we could come up with about 10 different ones that are so important. This is the text. This is the book that tells us who Jesus is and the love that God had for us. That's his purpose, belief and understanding. And so what do you believe about the word? I mean, that's the big question. That's what John's saying here. That's what we say from the pulpit. You've got a decision. Do you believe he's the word? Do you believe this witness? Do you believe this testimony? And if you do, what are you going to do with it? Not just that decision. Christianity is faith. It's a journey. Maybe you did pray. Maybe you made a decision. But it's an ongoing thing. Will you continue to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Putting you aside and putting him where he should be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for John and his wisdom. How he explains things that anyone can understand, but yet gives us a chance to dig deep, Lord. And you are deep, but simply you are love. And you've given us grace when we didn't deserve it, but yet there is still truth. And that truth is that you are Lord and there's no other. You are the big G God. There is no other. May we see you over the coming months as we look into this text. May we just understand who you are. And may we come to know you in an intimate, beloved way as John did. In Jesus' name, amen. So we do have a prayer team that would love to pray with you. Brandon and Lee are over there, so you can make your way over to them. If you have any questions about this text, if you want to have questions about belief and faith, please find any of the leaders, the elders that are here, or any other ministry leaders, and have that conversation. Don't wait. Have a great Sunday, everybody.